be our update on addressing the state recycled water policy and updating regional groundwater and surface water protection under a proposed basin plan amendment.
Good morning, board members. I'm Lauren Clyde of your basin planning staff, and I'm here to give you an update on addressing the state's recycled water policy under a proposed basin plan amendment to update regional groundwater and surface water protection. Thanks. So last May, the State Water Board adopted a recycled water policy, and you heard about this policy back in December when Jonathan Bishop came down from State Board to provide you with background on the policy and the requirements. So I'm just going to go over those briefly because I know you've heard this before. But the intent of the policy is salts and nutrients from all sources to be managed on a basin-wide or watershed-wide basis. And the purpose is to increase the use of recycled water from municipal wastewater sources. The policy provides direction to the Water Board's proponents of recycled water project and the public regarding the appropriate criteria to be used by the State Board and the Regional Boards in issuing permits for recycled water projects. It describes permitting criteria that are intended to streamline the permitting of the majority of recycled water projects. And it provides the water boards with sufficient authority and flexibility to address site-specific conditions. The key requirements that we're looking at are the development of salt and nutrient management plans by stakeholders for every groundwater basin and sub-basin. And note that the development of these plans will include participation by regional water board staff. Adoption of the plans by the Regional Water Board is required within 5 years from the date of the policy, and that would be May of 2014. These plans must include, at a minimum, a significant recycled and stormwater use and recharge component, address water quality concerns in each basin and sub-basin, and note there are 62 basins in our region, and include an anti-degradation analysis and include a sub-basin monitoring plan. So staff has several concerns with the policy requirements. As you can imagine, a big one being that there are 62 basins in our region and that there is little evidence indicating that there are salt and nutrient problems in most of the basins. And that this is not one of our many try and review priorities as well, and we have a lot of those, as you know. And also that only one stakeholder group has come forward to address a portion of a basin in our region. So the proposed basin plan amendment that I'm going to go over was identified by the board as a high priority during both the 2004 and the 2007 triennial reviews. Board concurred with staff's recommendation to list this as a high priority. Staff proposes to address the recycled water policy requirements with this basin plan amendment, which is just getting underway as part of a team effort. We have the basin planning unit, co-regulatory unit, and our cleanup units working together to draft a scope of work for this basin plan amendment. The basin plan amendment will update chapters 3 and 4 of our basin plan, and our overall intent is to streamline and create more transparency by adding clarifying language to the basin plan, replacing some outdated information and tables with science that's newly available, and adding implementation and action plans, as well as a narrative groundwater objective, which is missing from our region, and that's for toxicity. One of the proposed action plans under this basin plan amendment would be tailored to address the requirements of the recycled water policy, which is shown in the next slide. And that piece of the basin plan amendment, tentatively calling it a land discharge action plan, So the portion of the recycled water policy that staff proposes to address under the land discharge action plan component of the amendment would be a basin, sub-basin-wide monitoring plan. The plan would need to include the appropriate network of monitoring locations. It would include monitoring for salts, nutrients, and constituents locally identified in accordance with the policy. It would include sampling for CECs, chemicals of emerging concern, and you'll recall that there's a policy that the policy set up a blue ribbon panel to look at CECs, and they're actually due to report to the state board in June of this year. And one other thing is implementation measures and anti-degradation analysis, which would also be required. Staff believes that this proposal would meet the intent of the recycled water policy by using the Basin Plan Amendment to implement generic salt and nutrient goals region-wide, and this will significantly reduce the burden on local stakeholders as well as regional board staff. There's one requirement of the recycled water policy that we are not proposing to address at this time, but we would be doing if we determine that it is needed based on data that's collected later. And that is the requirements listed here. Salt and nutrient source identification, basin, sub-basin assimilative capacity, and loading estimates together with fate and transport of salt and nutrients. That piece would be added later, that's the only piece that of the requirements that we're not intending to address right up front. And that basically concludes my presentation, so I'd be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Board member questions?
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Mr. Norrie.
Thank you, Lauren. Mm-hmm. This is all still pretty new, and it's not, and Santa Rosa is really the only entity that's going forward on that. Even so, we heard of the Sonoma West Holdings this morning, the reclamation that happens at Mendocino. All those little places are subject, without this, they're subject to individual salt and nutrient management plans within those sub-basins, correct?
That's my understanding.
Okay.
And
within that, I believe that, as I recall, Jonathan Bishop was indicating they have somewhat of an open mind anyway in how this thing's going to play out on from our regional perspective and how it plays with the state policy.
That's correct. Uh-huh.
Do you have any sense of how does this meet the state policy in your opinion or staff's opinion as far as?
We feel it meets the intent of the policy. Kat may want to jump in, but not exactly the letter of the policy is the way we're looking at it. So, but we think that the state board would be amenable to this. So.
My thought process was to bring this forward to you as our best attempt to address the recycled water policy within the resources and within the work we were already planning to do. It doesn't meet everything, and what I would propose is that we prepare a letter for Mr. Hale's signature to the state board and let them know that this is what we're planning to do, that we only have one stakeholder group forming out of our 62 basins, and even that doesn't cover the entire Santa Rosa Plain Basin. So we don't have the kind of stakeholders coming forward like they're seeing in Southern California. We don't have evidence of problems. We also lack information. So this is how we would propose to be in compliance and meet that 5-year deadline that is out there, so it would probably be an incomplete, but at least we'd be able to check what is affordable for us to do and seems important for us to do in the short term.
Well, and it seems to me that we need to leave it somewhat open-ended in that this whole issue of CECs is a vast kind of unknown territory as far as I know, and it's yet to be determined that way. My suggestion is to leave at least some leeway. You've somewhat, I think, wisely left off. You indicated the one piece of this that you're not dealing with here, which is a pretty sizable chunk. But nonetheless, I think it leaves a process of discovery to go forward as how this whole thing plays out. One other question I have, though, I noticed that this talks about recycled water, groundwater recharge projects, which I don't recall that being necessarily part of the initial information part for recycled water policy. Can you inform me a bit on that? Do you have any specific knowledge? Is there anywhere in our region where recycled water is used for groundwater recharge at this point?
I'm going to turn this over to John because he's dealing with the technical issues on this, so I'll answer that.
Good morning, board members. The recycled water policy has a lot of broad goals that go beyond just recycled water use.
Sure.
And it does identify that land disposal of wastewater as well as stormwater will help water supply statewide. And so it's not really looking at what we traditionally say groundwater recharge projects, we're actually injecting waste, but it's just setting out some broad goals that if we try to dispose of waste on land at agronomic rates and proper waste disposal methods, we are augmenting water supply in California. And so it does lay out expectations for goals of land application of stormwater and recycled water.
Well, in fact, John, I mean, even looking at LID and that type of stuff, mm-hmm. I mean, when you talk about slow it down, sink it, and all that kind of stuff, you could construe that essentially as, you know, a recharge issue.
Correct.
How, though, again, but specifically recycle water, which is to me a POTW type output stream here, it's not stormwater. Is there any place in our basin or in our region now that recycled water is being used to specifically recharge groundwater?
No one has a permit through all the hoops with California Department of Public Health to be a groundwater augmentation discharge, to actually inject into groundwater. We have had folks that have explored that, and we have had meetings to facilitate that, but no one is doing it to my knowledge.
Yeah, given the CEC issue, I would think that the anti-degradation argument would be quite interesting. So,
yes.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Well, it seems that there's opportunity in, as Ms. Coleman has suggested, for drafting a letter that can outline that strategy where we can sort of go down the checklist of what the state requirements are and how well those dovetail in with our existing programs. And I think that seems to be sort of the intent to demonstrate how we can move forward within our resources. And I would support going that route. So I don't know if any other. Yes, Mr. Massey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I know I speak for large entities, but particularly small entities. We are spending, we are looking at this in terms of the resources of the regional board that get utilized for doing this, which is an add-on to what our core mission is. And I would only ask that as we go through this process, that we look at it from the perspective of a potential discharger, because if it gets expensive from the experience, from the perspective of the potential discharger, they simply won't do it. And this is, we're not reinventing water, so this is the only water we've really got. Without that, if it makes it so difficult that they can't, then we're going to defeat whatever the purpose of finding a system for reclaimed, recycled water is that the state board did. So it's got to make sense for not only us as a board, as regulators, but it's also going to make sense for the people that would be doing it. Thank you.
Thanks. Questions? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
And Ms. Clyde, it's nice to see you. We haven't seen you very often.
It's been too long. Thank you. It's good to see you.
Mr. Chairman, we have a speaker card.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Rivera. Good morning, Chair and members of the board. My name is Dave Smith, and I'm here before you in, I guess, two capacities. One is as the managing director for the Water Reuse Association, California section, and the other is as a representative of the city of Santa Rosa. The city is the single entity undertaking a salt and nutrient management plan, and one of my roles for the city is to manage that process. So I just wanted to make a couple of comments, and I'll clarify from which position I make each one as I go through them. First of all, I want to acknowledge the sensitivity that you've demonstrated and that your staff has demonstrated to the cost issues, not only cost implications to your own operation, but to those of dischargers. And maybe offer a little bit of insight as to why the City of Santa Rosa has undertaken this effort. The City of Santa Rosa has, as you know, a large water recycling program, and under the policy, it was clearly in the city's interest and the subregional system's interest to be out in front on this and undertake this effort to make sure that the groundwater resource is not being adversely affected and that a plan is put into place to preserve that. And so the city has been pleased to work with staff to identify a work plan that will achieve that. And we're in the process of developing that plan now. And I'm happy to answer any questions about that effort. Then speaking from a more statewide perspective and my water reuse association role, I just wanted to make a couple of comments, and one relates to, if I may go back and refer to the title given this, the Land Discharge Action Plan. I take exception to the term land discharge. Water recycling and land discharge really are two different things. Land discharge is I think technically a term under the regulation that may include water recycling, but in fact, in the business, land discharge refers to disposal, and the and there should be a concern about groundwater impacts from land disposal of wastewater, but water recycling is the beneficial reuse of water, and properly used recycled water ought not to adversely affect groundwater. So I would ask that staff consider whether that's the appropriate name for that action plan or not. And then I wanted to also agree with staff that the policy requirement would not be completely addressed with the approach that's been laid out. But I think that as the state board clarifies compliance in basins where there is not a salt issue, this will turn out to be the approach that is recommended by the state. The Water Reuse Association is working closely with the state to identify criteria for determining which basins need a more aggressive planning effort, such as is going on in some basins in Southern California. And I would characterize the work that Santa Rosa is doing as sort of a moderate level of effort. And many of the basins in the North Coast region don't warrant, there's no threat to them in particular, and don't warrant the level of effort. And the Water Reuse Association, as being one of the key stakeholders that was involved in the authorship of the recycled water plan that from which the salt nutrient management plan requirement comes, is supportive of the approach that your staff is proposing to you as being appropriate and consistent with the intent of the policy. So I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have at this point.
Thanks, David. Jim Flugum?
Good morning, board members. My name is Jim Flugum. I'm a deputy public works director with the City of Healdsburg, and our particular situation in the City of Healdsburg is that we're struggling to comply with the seasonal discharge prohibition. As you all may be aware, we're still a year-round discharger to the basalt pond. We have a draft permit pending with the board. I'm not here to talk about that today, but I do want to strongly comment on what board member Massey said, and that's just in going forward and implementing this policy, I think it's extremely important, especially from our perspective, that this not be done in a way that makes it more difficult to attract people to recycle water use. We are going to be completely dependent on going out and finding voluntary users of recycled water to make the system work for us, and most of that is going to be vineyard irrigation. We've got turf irrigation in town, but that's only going to account for about a third of the water that we need to recycle to be able to meet that seasonal discharge prohibition. And the other comment I want to make, and I would really ask that in going forward with this policy, that regional board staff take into consideration the level of treatment instead of applying a broad brush approach. As you may be aware, the City of Healdsburg, I think, provides, if not not the highest, but among the highest level of treatment in Region 1. We've got membrane infiltration. We spent the money at our own initiative to go out and actually build nutrient removal in our treatment process, and we produce water with very, very low levels of nutrients. So those are the only two comments I have, and I'd be happy to take any questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. I don't have any additional speaker cards on the item, so great. Thank you. We'll move on to item 9.